Grace to you, peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, as we're reading from Scripture, it actually starts out really wonderful, but then it falls apart right quick. In Isaiah, we hear an amazing invitation and promises of an everlasting covenant. And then in Luke, we hear about a tyrant's cruelty and random devastation. And then we get to that part in the parable with cut it down. That line in the parable today is so striking and so off-putting that it startles us, especially when the Old Testament reading seems to be filled with joy and hope. Is it that Jesus wants us to be terrified? Is it that we're supposed to keep looking over our shoulders, waiting for an axe to fall? I don't think so. I think that there is plenty of good news over all of our readings today. So much good news so that we might find hope. And all of that good news begins in Isaiah. As a prophetic book which spans the before, the during, and the after of the exile. We have a moment here in Isaiah where they are declaring God's unending love for God's people. The exile has not been easy. Torn from home and hearth, watching as the temple was destroyed, listening as the Babylonians mocked the Lord our God, it was not easy. Coming to grips with facing the apostasy that led to the exile, all of the refusing to listen to that same God, that's not a simple thing to do. But Isaiah brings words of hope today, words to help strengthen, words to lead us into tomorrow. Whether you are in exile, real or metaphorical, whether you are lost and hungry, whether you are parched and thirsty, confused, withdrawn, whatever, God is inviting you back. God is inviting us all to come and to discover the grace of God once again, or maybe discover the grace of God for the first time. All are welcome, all are encouraged, all are included. In our reading from Isaiah, verses 6 and 7, blossom with good news as we hear, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him when he is near. God is seeking you. God is waiting to hear us call out, waiting for us to discover the grace and the goodness that is our in the love of God. For the exiles that Isaiah is writing to, this is good news. For all of us, hearing these words again, it continues to be good news, encouraging us to discover life as children of God and as followers of Jesus. So there is all this joy and potential in Isaiah this morning, and then we turn to Luke and all is dashed. It begins when people come up and tell Jesus about some fellow Galileans who were killed by Pilate in Jerusalem, thus mixing their blood along with their sacrifices. Now, the way the story is told implies that in the telling, the people were wondering just how bad you had to be in order to die like that. You have to remember that in Jesus' day and even still today, people would often equate disaster with punishment from God for gross sinfulness. Jesus is quick to tell us all that we're just like those people. That is, we're sinners. And so do you think that you would have deserved someone killing you when you went to worship? They didn't think so either. They were sinners, true, but it happened. It happened not as a punishment from God, but as the result of a tyrant's whim. Just like the tower collapse that Jesus talks about, or the tornadoes last weekend. God didn't do those things as a punishment. God instead stands with us. God stands with the victims and the families, providing comfort and strength, providing love and care in so many ways. And then Jesus tells the parable to further illustrate his point. The parable is that a vineyard owner is walking his land and discovers a fruitless fig tree. Now, if it's a pretty tree, that might not bother me very much. You know, you can look at the tree and enjoy the tree. But as a farmer looking to capitalize on the fruit of his land, it bothers that vineyard owner, and his command is cut it down. Talking to the gardener, he explains that it's been 3 years, still no fruit, cut it down. Now, many people who read this parable assume that the vineyard owner represents God, and that God is looking around at us, expecting fruit, so that cut it down becomes a harsh judgment, especially if you are feeling especially fruitless. We try. We strive at times, and we strive for a while. It's a struggle, don't you know? And here we have Jesus telling us that we will be cut down. But is that what Jesus is doing? You see, the fear of being cut down is like the question about how sinful that group of Galileans were. It assumes that we're in control and that all our actions make a difference. It's the way the world wants us to look at things. They were awful, so they got what they deserved. I'm not that bad, am I? The world wants us to look around and see some that we might cast out, some that we might leave behind and disregard. The world wants us to see some as being worthy of cut down, but Jesus doesn't. At the end of our reading from Isaiah, we are reminded that God's ways are not the same as our ways or the world's ways. And this is the key to seeing the good news of God's love today. God doesn't ever look at us and want to cut us down. In the parable, the gardener represents God. As impatient and imperious as the vineyard owner is, the gardener is patient, caring, willing to roll up their sleeves and work with us so that the potential for fruit grows and grows. This is the grace of our Lord, who wants to work with us, who wants to stand beside us and together make God's kingdom real. This is to what we are being invited today. From the voice of Isaiah today, we are invited to discover the power of the presence of God for us here in Lent and beyond. As we hunger and thirst for understanding and opportunity, God is with us. As we stand about poor and worried about not being enough, God is with us. As we sit fruitless, God comes not with an axe to cut us down, but with patience and manure. It just delights me to see Jesus using manure as the metaphor for God working with us through the Holy Spirit. God stands by us to work with us so that we might truly love our neighbors and live as God's children and as followers of Jesus. So in this season of Lent, you are invited. All through your life, you are invited. Invited to what? Invited to live with the presence of God. Invited to live with the love of Jesus. Invited to live with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that surrounds you and goes with you. This is quite the invitation. Amen.